Now we'll be joining together to read from the Bible. So we'll be reading from the passage of Psalm 124 is on page 612 in the church Bibles. I'll give you some time to turn to there. Psalm 124. A song of ascents of David. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, church. It's so good to be with you again this morning. Please have that passage open as we look at God's word. If we haven't met, my name is Scott, part of the ministry team here. And if we haven't met, I'd really love to meet you after the service. And there's a lot of you here, and so I'm making my way through, and it'd be great, yeah, to kind of put face to a name and know you. I've put this around the wrong way. Sorry. Yeah. Psalm 124 is where we are this morning. I'd like to begin with Lord of the Rings. I love kind of the series, but I've got to say that I haven't read it. So if you've read it and you love it because you've read it, don't hate me because I've only watched it. It is an epic book. It's an epic movie and like a great kind of... You know, when you take a movie from a book, it's always kind of like, is it going to be good? This was good. This was good and groundbreaking, I would say, in regards to the fantasy genre. The quest is just phenomenal. As Frodo, the small hobbit, kind of right there at the front of that picture, from the Shire has to take the ring, which contains all the evil and malice of Sauron, he's the big bad guy, into the fires of Mount Doom. Like, what a great plot. Already sold, if you haven't watched it. You should have watched it by this point. But if you've read it, if you've watched it, kind of, you know that kind of this journey is not an easy one. You know, Frodo, he's almost killed, captured, and consumed time and time again. Through large parts of his large journey, Frodo is in danger and is terrified. You know, he's in danger more than he's safe. And when you finally get to the end of the film, kind of everything's kind of calmed down. Spoilers, like most of everybody that we actually care about survives. He kind of gets to the end. There's the boat. There's the scene. There's like the elven land in the distance. And Frodo kind of has this large book in which he's recounted all of his journey. And he hands that on to Sam. And then it's a beautiful scene because Frodo's there and he's looking at all those who have gone with him. All the companions that got him through. There's Gimli, there's Aragorn, there's Orlando Bloom, there's Merry, Pippin, Gandalf and Sam. And he knows that it's those companions that helped him, saved him and equipped him. If it was up to just Frodo, he never would have left the Shire. That's kind of the Lord of the Rings. Worth watching if you haven't. Extended edition over original for sure. Our psalm this morning wants us to also look at our journey. Our psalm wants us to lift our eyes to see the great help that we have in life. The God who saves us. This is a psalm of ascent, which was used as by God's people as they would journey to the temple to worship for festivals, for Passover, And as they go, these songs often reflect, actually, that their journey up to this point has been hard. It's kind of a collection from Psalm 123 to 130-ish. They note that there's been trials, that journey's been difficult. And in our particular psalm today, we see that there have been enemies that sought to ensnare us. And for those who then pick up this psalm and sing, they're reminded not to sing of our own strength, but of the God who is and who was with them through what they've gone through. We're going to tackle this in 3 points this morning. There's the great danger we're going to see in verses 1 through to 5. Then there's going to be the great escape, 6 and 7, and we're going to end with the last verse of the great confidence that this psalm gives us. So great danger, great escape, great confidence. Come sing with me the great danger that David sings for us. But note that he sings, and as soon as he begins, he knows that he can't sing this just for himself. He begins and he calls all of God's people to join in. This is a song for David, but for all of God's people. Let me read those first verses. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose against us. The Psalms have kind of inbuilt in them a corporate function. These are really songs for you when this is for you, but they are songs for us as God's people to sing for one another and to pray for one another. When one of us suffers, when one of us is attacked, we are one body. And it's right for these songs to also prepare us. If you're not yet suffering, to be prepared for when you do. If you are suffering, for this psalm to speak for you now. And for if you're not, but you know those who are, for this psalm to be the prayer that we say to God for those who can't speak for themselves. We have the words that God himself gives to us. So David begins praying and singing, and he calls us not about our own strength, but God's. If it had not been the Lord that was on our side, he says. David says that through our trials, God is not absent. This isn't a God who's hands off, but on our side. God does not look at us at kind of people in trouble from far away and kind of go, oh, no, not again. No, but this God loves us, loves his people, and so stands with us. The language that the Bible uses is never that God is far away from his people, but rather it always uses the most intimate of language, like a father watching over his children, like a husband who delights in his wife, like a nurse that comes and bandages the wounds of his people right with them. You know, this is not a God that's far away, but with his people. And David sings about that and says that he knows that right now, actually in the time that's gone, he needed God's help. So great was the opposition. Basketball games, not one that I kind of enjoy, but often you can, before the game begins, you can tell who's going to win. Like particularly, you know, when it's especially like kind of early high school, you know, there's the kids that like genetics is on their side. You know, the growth spurts have already kicked in. All, you know, and there's that volleyball team. Like those are adults, right? Like that's a fully grown adult and some also fully grown adults there. You know. Like the game's over, right? David says, apart from God, our circumstance was that we were doomed. This isn't a case of David just kind of like, he just needs one more person with him. Just one more person and it'll be okay. No, this is helplessness apart from God's intervention. David wants you to kind of feel that picture, and so he draws it for you in verses 3 through to 5. What does he say? You know, the people that, if it had not been the Lord that was on our side when people rose against us, then they would have swallowed us alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Again, like whitewater rafting. You know, there's always that advertisement where it's like, you know, lovely location, come spice it up a little bit by almost dying. You know, and it is an experience because of how dangerous it is. You know, they deck you out in kind of life jackets and helmets because if you hit those waters, if you go into it, if it wasn't for all the things that they strap to you, if you go into that surging, raging kind of torrent of water, you're gone. David here has that in mind for these enemies that come against him, that have risen up to destroy him, kind of like an army in mass coming down the hill that looks like flowing water. David begins with this image of kind of overwhelming defeat apart from God on his side. It doesn't matter how strong you are or how hard you try, without God, you are overwhelmed. I think this psalm shows us something fundamental for us as Christians. That being a Christian actually doesn't mean that you're not going to face trials. It doesn't mean that there won't be enemies. This isn't a promise of the good life now. And I want to tell you that anyone that sells you that is not selling you Christianity. They're selling you something else. We follow a crucified Messiah. And he calls us to follow him through that. This psalm rightly points us that God promises to never leave us alone, however, in those trials. That he's going to be with his people, and that no matter what life throws at us, we won't have to face it alone. He's the one that provides escape. Come see with that in our second point, the great escape in verses 6-7. Because David's clear, like the vivid imagery continues. He says, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped." Kind of so great is the threat to David that the first thing that he relates his predicament to is to be prey in the mouth of the predator. Kind of the teeth have come down and the escape is just so close. And kind of unlike this rabbit that you'll see in just a moment. Rabbit, no, that's all right. They sought to eat us, but God doesn't let it happen. Is there no rabbit? There's no rabbit. Okay. That picture didn't make it. Or like a bird in a trap, David says. I think catching birds is a real skill. I've tried it one time, kind of like an earlier childhood part of my life. You know, you're like, oh, I could catch a bird. And so you go and try. But like the experts, they set traps and they cast nets. They kind of have done this from before David's time. They lay the food down and the trap goes up. And so the birds go in and then it's sprung and everything is captured within. And I want you to think in this psalm, where is David? Where does David kind of picture himself? David wants to put to you that where he is, when he gets saved, is from the mouth of the lion, from the inside of the trap. David's gone in, he's been surrounded, the trap has been sprung, and he's inside. And even from there, God saves him. David escapes because the snare is broken. And this is true for David in these moments of his life. when he faces great enemies who have surrounded him and seek to destroy him. But there's one that sings this song kind of greater, who kind of is a greater David and sings of a greater escape from a greater trap. Who, you know, we kind of read Matthew 22 before. Jesus going into kind of the heart of the religious and political world of his time. He's gone to Jerusalem at Passover, and it's likely that he would have sung this psalm on the way there. Jesus knows that he's going to his enemies, into their land, and they try to trap him. They try to trap him with their words, with their schemes, and they seek to destroy him. He's not ensnared, though, by their words. Jesus actually has in mind a greater trap that he is going towards. Jesus has made that clear on the way to Jerusalem. He said, I'm going. He said to his disciples time and time again, they kind of didn't understand what he was saying. I'm going to Jerusalem to die. I'm going to the cross. And Jesus goes there to die, to be crucified, to go into the trap, to break it from the inside. David sings of going into the trap and coming out because it's broken, and Jesus goes in to break it for us. God saves him from the trap of death because Jesus goes in there for us. This psalm becomes then the psalm of hope, because you could be thinking, does this psalm actually give me hope when I seem to be facing trials, when I know people that are facing trials and they are crushed? I watch them and they are catched. And actually they seem to, even when you know of people that are persecuted in other countries, they even go to death. And does this psalm give them hope? Because if this psalm does not give them hope, then how can this give me hope? If this doesn't solve their large problem, how could this solve my small one? And because of Jesus not being killed, by not being trapped in death, but rather breaking death, this psalm becomes the psalm of hope and victory for all those oppressed, even to the point of death. They go and they're trapped, but the trap is broken. They go and it feels like they are consumed. They're in the mouth of death, but they break free. This psalm gives hope to those in Nigeria facing persecution by radical Muslim forces. This psalm gives hope to those in North Korea who have to hide their faith, because if they're found, they'll go into labor camps. This psalm gives hope to pastors in China who hide their churches, who would face years of imprisonment if they get found. This psalm says that through that, God is with them. And the greatest trap, the greatest threat that any government could ever put against us, death, God has broken and set us free from. This psalm sings of not just victory in this life, not just salvation in this life, but salvation into eternity. And so David brings his psalm to a close with great confidence. David kind of reflects back on where he began and says, our help is in the name of the Lord, the one who made heaven and earth. Without God, he knows he would have been consumed, and David can have the greatest confidence because there's no one like him. God is the one who by his word placed the heavens above, who built up the land, who filled both the land and the sea with all their creatures. And David comes alongside us and reminds us of that. That the God who is with us is the God who made everything. And he is the God who helps us. I want to help us to understand kind of the name of the Lord, kind of in verse 8. There are some companies that kind of name themselves after their founder. You know, take Ford, take Kellogg's or Disney. Kind of they're named after the person who kind of built them from the ground up. If Mr. Ford walked into his office, into his factory, it's really clear that things are going to go the way that he wants. If he wants production to start, it starts. If he wants it to stop, it stops. When it's overtime time, because he says so, it's overtime time. Because it's his company, it's his. He made it, and it's all in his name. David here comes alongside us and says, the heavens above, the earth beneath, all creation, all that is God's, and he made it. What he says goes here. And our help is in his name that he shares with us. Because this God isn't distant. We don't call him Mr. Ford. We call our God Father. We began with Mr. Frodo in Lord of the Rings, who needed help all the way on his journey. David pens this psalm to draw our eyes again and again as we approach God to worship him and as we come away from him again, to point us again and again to him, to who he is as our help and salvation, as we reflect on the hard journey that we've come through, as we reflect on the journey ahead. David wants us to have great confidence of the one who stands with us. I'm always so glad for these psalms because I think they show my weakness so well. David paints that unless God was with us, he would have failed. But so often God is not the first person that I turn to. Sometimes I turn to my own plans. Sometimes I turn to my own strength. I think, I'll just try harder for this time and I'll get through. God is not often the place where I find security. Sometimes that's in my money, or actually maybe to flip it, sometimes I feel insecure when things aren't the way that I want them to be. I think this psalm reflects to me that so often and so wrongly, God is plan C. And it's only after everything has been falling around me that I turn rightly to God in prayer. We should be so quick to come to God in prayer, the one who's with us and desires to help us. And I think David writes this because he knows our weakness, for they are also his. And not just David, God knows our weakness. And so these psalms call us again and again and again, through his word again and again, back to him. We can be so easily distracted. We can so easily see this new thing and think, oh, that'll be what's going to sort everything out. Our faith can be so weak, our hearts wavering, our minds distracted and tempted on all fronts. And if it was up to us, if it was not God on our side who steps in to be with us, we would be overwhelmed. But God again and again comes to be with us. He shows us again and again all that he is and his great love for us. He wants him to be all that encapsulates our vision, for our hearts to delight in him and all that he is, so that each day we'll love him more and more, forget him less and less. He shows us his goodness and grace. He calls us to trust in him and to come to him in prayer. If you're new to Christianity, trying to figure out who Jesus is, I'm so glad that you're with us today. This call to see him anew is for you also. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, please come talk with me today. This God that offers freedom, who breaks death, who saves us from sin, is one that wants you to know him. We regularly run here Taste and See, a short 4-week course which kind of through kind of meals, so you can kind of like eat the message and see the message, illustrates God's work of salvation through the Bible. If you do know Jesus, this psalm again reminds you to not rest on your own strength, to not try and do it your way first, but to rest on the one who has his arms open wide for us. If it was not God on our side, we would have no hope. But he is, so let us pray. Father, you are the God who saves. You in mercy and grace sent your Son for us. You defeated death. You paid our debt to you and your justice. Lord, help our weakness. Strengthen our hearts so to delight in you more and more, and so rightly come to you in all our needs. When we're attacked, Lord, may we delight in your shelter and love. We have no other salvation than you, and so, Lord, we cast ourselves at your feet, and we ask this in the name of your Son. Amen.